I'm delighted on today's Trials of Modern Life to be joined by the lovely Sharon Greenock. Hello, Sharon.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Good. Sharon, when I make this noise, what goes off in your head? Oh, my goodness. Bad things.
Turn it down.
Yeah.
Now.
Yes.
Off.
And yet...
What, do you know what time it is?
Yeah.
You've been on there far too long.
And you know the worst thing about that? There's a little bit, which I think Super Mario or whatever, that I find myself going... I walk away, cross, and going...
You know, that one is actually, though, the... you know, they're just trying to get to the next level of, you know, jumping over, going through, hopping down, jumping on a train. That one, they're not killing anybody.
No, that's true. And look, we do make distinctions here, but what we want to talk about in the Trials of Modern Life today is that chances are if you live with, what, anyone over the age of about something, that noise is probably quite a familiar part of your life.
Anyone over the age, honestly, Jeff, because I'm out there now. Being a non-worker out there, being a mum, anyone over the age of about 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
In the car on the way to school, they've got portable ones.
Yes.
In the car on the way home from school, they've got portable ones.
When people go out and have dinner with friends, their children come along with those games.
I was actually out last night for dinner with my youngest who turned 11 yesterday. And lo and behold, on the next table was a lovely looking little boy, probably about 9 or 10. And he was playing some form of game whilst having dinner with his family.
And yet, people, and I've done it before too, you use it as a babysitting tool. You think, oh, well, you know, I'd prefer it if they took a book. These days we insist on the book, and I'll talk about our experience, and I don't want to embarrass my 12-year-old son, because we actually feel that we've really got control on his love of playing games, be it the little ones, the portables, be it the computer game. But lots of parents, I think, really battle with it.
I actually think there's a group of parents who don't think it's a battle. I don't think they need to think that they need to have control, actually. I think there's a group that say, this is what our kids do. This is the modern day equivalent of play. This is the way that our children play. And I actually think that it can be a disturbing way for children to play, because I would go, I mean, I say your brain is being sucked out when you are, you try talking to a 12-year-old boy when he's in the middle of level 4.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing is more important.
And I like
he's not
threat.
Interacting with anybody.
I like your almost irrational threat saying your brain is being sucked out.
Yeah.
He's sitting there playing and he's going, no, it's not. That's a stupid thing to say. But it's very frustrating for parents. And we want to find out from parents what the rules are at your place. And if there aren't any rules, there perhaps need to be.
Have you noticed if you know, they do have a detrimental effect on your child? I asked the kids this morning, because I knew it was coming in, before they went to school, I asked Scarlett, who's 14, and I said to her, can you tell me, you know, are the kids in your... She said, oh, I can tell you the kids who play far too much of the video games, Mum. I said, why? She said, because they don't really talk about anything else.
Yeah.
That's all they talk about. They've started going to the beach. This is part of a, you know, a teenage... ritual Australian thing. You go to the beach on Sunday afternoons. She said the only one that doesn't come is the video gamer. He's not meeting them at the beach on Sunday afternoons. So, well, something's not quite right there, because at the beach on Sunday afternoons, they're learning how to have a little flirt, how to play, how to talk to each other, how to have resolve conflict. They're learning so much that they're not learning when their brain's being sucked out.
It's not. He's learning to make the world a safer place by killing things. 1-300-222-720, SMS 1-99-22-720. We hear lots of reports about how long is too long. A recent one reckoned that kids were playing on average up to 4 hours a day. And I guess it begs the question whether it can be addictive. Now, Professor Vladan Stasevich is a psychiatry professor, and he's taken a really close look at gaming and addiction. A very good morning to you.
Good morning. Hello.
Professor, do you reckon it's becoming a problem in Australia, or it's just another thing for parents to deal with? It truly is just a trial of modern life.
I would say, yes, it is a problem. Of course, part of the issue is that... On one hand, you have people who deny that it is a problem, and of course, on the other, you have people who disagree. It's a very controversial issue. It has divided both video gamers, their parents, teachers, everyone.
When you look at this and study this topic, Professor, is it the amount of time that kids are playing these games, or is it the actual type of games, or do you think it's a combination of both that can maybe affect behavior?
Okay. We conceptualize this as a problem if there is a degree of preoccupation with video game playing that prevents people from doing other things, or that you know, minimizes their participation in life. Just what you discussed a couple of minutes ago. So it's not necessarily in terms of the number of hours played, although of course there is a correlation between the number of hours played and the actual problem. So, you know, the more hours people play video games, and the more frequently they play, of course they are more likely to have a problem.
Now, Professor, are there signs and symptoms of this other than kids looking a bit glassy eyed and not that? Not that keen to answer you when you've asked them for the 10th time to turn it off.
And being a bit isolated.
Well, there are no clear-cut, symptoms or signs apart from those that you've mentioned. I mean, what you certainly notice is this degree of preoccupation, and you've already made some comments to that. But I would also emphasize that people who have a problem, that they neglect social activities, that they neglect their studies, that they neglect exercising, that they may have some physical consequences such as either inability to sleep or decreased need for sleep. They may gain some weight or lose weight. Again, depending on how much food they take, they also are more prone, and that's certainly what our survey has shown, they're more prone to take all those energizing drinks, you know, various stimulant-containing drinks. So they're not necessarily more prone to using alcohol or various illicit drugs, but anything that has caffeine or stimulating substances, they may be more prone, of course, to stay awake for longer hours and to play more.
Yeah. You're listening to Professor Vladan Stasevich. He's a professor of psychology at Sydney University. It's 28 minutes after 11.
Professor, over in the UK, they've gone as far as actually establishing a rehabilitation centre for people that are addicted to these type of games. How are they dealing with it over there?
I don't know about the details of this, but the information that I do have is that they are pretty much using a model that's very similar to the model of working with people who have pathological gambling. So it's based on group therapy, on a stepwise process. Of course, they also work individually. They also try to understand what are the main motives, reasons for playing video games, and they try to target those. Because as you may know, various people have various reasons or motives for playing video games. So it is important, in order to help them to break that cycle, it's important to first understand what really drives them, what motivates them to play.
Hey, Professor, let's find out from someone who said he was a gaming addict. Daniel, hello to you.
Oh, hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good, thanks. Now, you've got Sharon here, and
Daniel, got
a professor of psychology, but don't be worried.
No, hopefully not.
Daniel, tell us about your experiences.
During my high school years, I became... I was denying it the whole time, but I really did get addicted to games. And I think it was a form of escapism for me, where you're generally a hero character and you're the centre of the world, and it's a good feeling when everybody comes to you and you mean something in the game.
Yes.
And, that sort of withdrew me from my friends and sporting things, which I was quite good at. And it got quite bad at the time when I'd go on benders all night and not eat. And, it really took over my life for a bit.
So what changed for you, Daniel, now that you're out the other side, taking it one game at a time?
I think it was a bit of a wake-up call when I wouldn't play the game and I would really get cranky and I'd think about it instead of my studies. It would be in my head. I'd be thinking about playing the game when I wasn't actually playing it.
It's like withdrawal symptoms, isn't
it? It is, and I would get cranky and I would crave to play it and get away and what I'd want to do. And I'd at school I'd wag on sports and things, and then eventually I think that's what sort of got me off it when I got caught, that it forced me back into them, and I sort of deleted them off my computer to get them off, but there wasn't really any support or anything because it's sort of really not acknowledged.
So could you have done with some support? Could you have done with some help outside your mum and dad and the family?
I think it was mum and dad knew of it and they weren't happy about it, but I would do anything to sort of get it. I was never allowed a computer, but I would always borrow friends. And I think that was, I would actually hunt down a computer.
You can hear Daniel talking about like addictive behaviour,
yeah,
can't you?
Professor, does that all, that's exactly what it sounds like, Professor, isn't it?
Yes. This is a very good illustration of what you've been mentioning and what I was talking just a few minutes ago, yes.
So someone who is in Daniel's situation, should there be somewhere for he and his parents to go? Because even as Dan says, you know, it's not a problem you care to admit until you're finally in the throes of it.
Yes, I certainly think there should be something available for people and their families. Mm. Again, depending on the circumstances and the situation.
I think it's very difficult because technology is surrounding us constantly with mobile phones and everything so electrical. So it is something that is hard to keep away from.
I was going to ask you, Daniel, are you able to play video games now?
Yeah, I can. I do go through spurts, though, where I sort of find I do get drawn into and free time sort of does get taken up. But no, it doesn't, not so much.
Okay, Daniel, stay with us. Professor, thank you for your time.
Sure.
Thank you. Interesting subject. Professor Vladan Stasevic is Professor of Psychology. How old are you, Daniel?
I'm 22.
22. Do you have a sense that you've you've lost a lot of time playing these games?
I did. I failed to study for my TEE because I was distracted by these games. And during my free time, I was a boarder at boarding school. So I wasn't really supervised by my parents and I was sort of left to my own devices in my room and things, and it was sort of hard to break away from.
And you said you were good at sport when you were younger as well, so have you lost some opportunities there, do you think?
No, because I sort of got that under the thumb in my year 12 and I really did excel when I got out of that, and that was sort of a motivation. It's depressing, really. I found you play the game and you sort of mellow out in your head and don't think about everything else. You're sort of involved in the game, but as soon as you stop, you feel worse, I believe. I'd feel worse. Mm. And then I sort of got something that made me feel good, which is my sports, and I really excelled at that, and that sort of gave me something else to do rather than that. Yeah.
You might end up having a very long and productive career as a gaming counsellor, Daniel, because I think there are plenty of stories out there, but not many who would articulate it as well as you have. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's Daniel. Anne-Marie, hello to you.
Hi there, Jeff. I had an 11-year-old who is now 13 who was completely fixated on the game issue when he came home from school. Mm-hmm. It was set up to the television, and it actually ended up being a great problem because we would argue about how long he was going to play the game. Would you like a drink? There was no answer. You know, what happened today at school? He was completely blinkered.
This is where parents can't deal with it, Anne-Marie. We've got a text from someone said, my gripe is the child who can't stop to say hello or goodbye when on these games.
Exactly that. In the end, I'd had enough. So what I said was that was it, because we were arguing. There was great trauma in the house caused by this game. So in the end I said, that's it. Mm. It's going away. And from now on, when you want to play this game, you have to take it out of its box, plug it into the television. You will have half an hour and that's it. And you need to come and ask me when you want to play it.
And how's it gone?
It was difficult for maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I just had to, you know, stay firm.
Too right.
And after that, because he'd asked me to play it, and I'd say, yes, you can play it. Do I have to pack it away? Yes, you have to pack it away. And sometimes he'd go, you know, as if to say I was a terrible mother, and he wouldn't even get it out.
No, but that's brilliant.
It's a very practical advice for parents who are wondering about this right now, because the packing it away and the unpacking it is all part of actual
like
responsibility. And this is your time. And welcome to parenting. You know, Anne-Marie is being his mother for 2 weeks. It's bloody awful. And she just keeps saying the same line over and over again.
Good on you, Anne-Marie.
And we do the same with the television as well, because now he's in high school and they have such busy schedules.
Yes.
Sport, homework, leisure time, trying to fit everything in, that we have banned the TV during the week.
Look, I think you're doing exactly the right thing. Anne-Marie, you're not as tough as Alison, but you're pretty tough. Thanks for being on the show. In the name of Lord in heaven above, she writes, how hard can it be? There's an off switch. And if, like me, you're not techno-savvy enough to be able to find it on the said gaming console, there's this fabulous invention called a meter box. Isn't brilliant? We can see, Alison. Good on you for being so honest. Tell me, there's 11-year-old or teenager out there paying the power bills to provide for their addiction. Yes, I have three teens of my own who self-manage their own Xbox time using common sense. Trust me, you only need to pull the plug once for them to realise you're serious. Parenting hint of the century, try saying no.
Absolutely. A boy came to my house, Jeff, when he was about 10 for a play, and he walked from the car across my verge playing some form of game, whilst behind him, his little sister trapped her finger in the car door. He never moved when she screamed.
Bless him.
He walked up to my front door and I said, thank you, we'll take that. You've come for a play. You've not come to play that. And it was on the microwave, on top of the microwave, and this boy's eye just kept going and going and going.
There actually are ways, like a lot of parenting things, there are some pretty straightforward ways of dealing with it. Our bloke Hugh, right? We didn't want him to ever have these games, okay?
So we
did the prohibition thing. It doesn't work. Doesn't work if you want to drink. Doesn't work if you want drugs, I'm convinced.
No.
Prohibition didn't work. In fact, he had like a little plastic, non-electronic version of these things when he was about 3, and he used to love that. And we thought, what a silly child. We've tricked him. But it doesn't work. Then he got older. We bought him a game. He was playing it during the week, as kids were playing it when they want to. Constant battle. Stupid. Parent, you know, we abrogate our responsibilities. Hugh, you can have half an hour. Yes, you've had half an hour. No, get off it, please. How many times have I told you to get off that? Blah, 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 right? And eventually, and we were so slow to do it, and this is very personal and real, we said, guess what? You're not going to play it during the week. How should we tell him? I don't know. Let's sit him down. And, you know, again, you're not doing what you should do as a parent. I wasn't doing.
Mm.
We sit him down and go, Hugh, we notice your behaviour changes when you play these games. So during the week, you're not going to. And he goes, okay.
Yeah.
Issue dealt with. And the difference is very evident. As soon as we did it, life changed. And if I could recommend nothing else to parents on any subject – be firm on this stuff and you actually can have an impact.
Yeah, you're the parent. You're supposed to be firm.
You are the parent.
Yeah, never mind this 2009 parenting where it's democracy. It's not a democracy.
No, it's a benevolent dictator. Well, you know, we had this thing a while ago. And again, to my own shame, we let the young fella grow his hair longer. Looked good until it didn't look good.
Yes.
And then it was going to be, it's going to have to get a haircut. And then we're musing on, we're going to have to tell him to get a haircut. Then suddenly the adult took over again and said, come with me, you're getting a haircut. Gets a haircut, looks okay, not an issue.
Mm.
So it is one about parents. Don't pussyfoot around.
I have a 14-year-old daughter. You are not going out in public in that skirt. It's not happening. Sorry.
Yeah, but you're formidable. You're small,
well,
but formidable.
But I'm nice as well. Like, I'm not horrible about it.
Yeah.
Someone's got to tell you.
And do you know what?
You don't look right in that.
How about, as parents, we absorb the fact our kids might hate us for a small period of time?
They're supposed to.
Or how fragile is our sense of self
when
if we can't deal with
around,
that?
When we turn around, they're supposed to stick two fingers up behind our back, and they're supposed to say to each other, God, she gives me the...
Yeah.
But they completely and deeply love us. And when they go out into the big wide world and we've armed them with all these skills, they'll look back and say, you were brilliant, you were brilliant, you know. And as I said, I talked to my kids this morning and they can tell me the kids that are playing nonstop on these games because they're not doing sport. The kids that they know tend to be overweight. Little 10-year-old boy, Juliet said he can talk about nothing else, Mum.
Yeah.
Nothing. He doesn't have another conversation.
Hello, Darren.
Yeah, g'day, Jeff. It's Darren from Rockingham area, mate. First time caller, but this subject, a touchy one for my wife and I.
What's your problem, Darren?
I succumbed to, just like all his other mates, getting him Xbox about 5 years ago. He's progressed from the Xbox to the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And obviously all of the things you're discussing today ring true to various levels and extremes. It's created a whole lot of frustrations in the household. However, trying to manage it and deal with it, the parenting came out and we've done negotiation and incorporating exercise, which is dear to our hearts. He used to consume his whole time in front of the television, so now we negotiate. So anything that he wants in relation to screen time, because he often found that we take Xbox off him, then comes the television, telly off, then came the computer.
Yeah, you just replace one with the other, don't you, Darren?
That's right. He just hopped from one to the other. So now everything that he does, there's no more arguments. The last 6 months, the strategy's been you wake up every day with zero credits. You earn your credits as the day progresses. If you do a workout, you get 30 minutes for 30 minutes for every hour that you do workout. You do your homework without arguments. You do your chores. You pack your clothes away. You pack your lunch. Yeah. And suddenly, we've got a young boy turning into a young man, accepting some responsibility, and a lot of the behaviours that are associated, and the frustrations between husband and wife are certainly diminishing in our lives. Yeah,
I hope, Darren, I hope you call again. That's fantastic because that's, you know, we started today talking about issues of personal responsibility and we wonder why, you know, certain people really struggle with being responsible for their own actions or the consequences of those actions. It is about not fretting and wanting to be mates with our kids all the time, isn't it?
To it exceptionally well too because we do talk to him like he's a young adult and talk to him about expectations.
You're a good bloke for saying that, Darren. Thank you very much. 1-300-222-720. Got an issue with gaming at your place? Now, just briefly, we're going to go to someone who's actually trying to bring some old-fashioned games into our lives now, which is
now we all think, oh, my gosh, we've got to sit down with the kids for hours and hours. I haven't got time.
I don't want to play Monopoly with him. But can I also say that a study has come out that says, contrary to popular belief, technology is not necessarily leading to social isolation. People who use the internet and mobile phones have larger and more diverse social networks, according to a new study. It is a mistake, says the assistant professor of communication, he would say that, at the University of Pennsylvania, to believe that internet use and mobile phones and computers just plunge people into a spiral of isolation, and that these new findings actually challenge previous research that says that anyone who plays on these things is just a nerd.
Well, and those people who just can't read facial expressions. Like, you need to be with people. You need to see. I mean, you know, you can't have coffee with someone via Facebook, can you?
Tell us how you're going at your place with the whole notion of video games. And really, I hope there's a very easy thing to learn from this. And it's a bit like computers in bedrooms, all that stuff.
Don't do that.
Take control over it. Jeff, tell kids that they can spend the same amount of time on computer games that they have spent reading that day. That's okay. Shireen in Gooseberry Hill says, I learned at a parent course that democracy is the right to have a say, but not always to get your way.
There you go. See?
I think that's a really good one. And I used to think computers were for nerds until I joined Facebook. I've caught up with 40-plus old mates I haven't spoken to for years. It's fantastic, says Colin, all of which is true. But we're restricting our son for another reason, which I won't be talking about publicly because he has his right to privacy. But on Sunday, what it meant was, while I was doing some weeding, being a dull, dull father figure, he and his mate were in the back shed fighting each other with rakes. And I thought, I think that's the first time I've seen him in the back shed. And they were laughing as I felt they'd never laughed before.
Oh, they've just got to do stuff that doesn't involve us. I mean, so on the one hand, at the beginning, we're saying we've got to police certain things. But in policing, we've also got to be able to pull back. And by the initial policing, we're arming them with skills. Darren said, you know, we negotiate with him. So now his boy is able to negotiate. It's a life skill that he will always, always have. And he'll always need, you know. So I just think we've got to, it's a balance between policing it and between giving them enough room to make their own mistakes.
I think we may have dealt successfully with this trial of modern life. So Shaz, kids then get to the point where they're older and want to buy their own things. We've got a little bit of that in our house.
Yes.
But again, everything in moderation, isn't it?
Well, it's their money, they've earned it, they've got it for birthday or whatever, but it's your home. You run the home. They live in the home with you, and it's you know. But you are the adults in the home, so you still have a right to negotiate what comes into the home and how it's used in the home.
Gee, it's a delight to have you here.
Lovely to be here.